And what you do with Jesus Christ determines your eternity. Because, see, you are a living soul. God made man a living soul. You never die. Oh, you die physically, but you don't die. Your spirit lives forever. You have a you are made in the image of God. God's a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Man's body, soul, and spirit. God said, let us make man in our own image. He made us in a Trinity. Three, body, soul, and spirit. Then look at verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the precious word of God. And Lord, I just pray that today I could be a blessing to all these men and to their families and to the ladies that are here. Lord, we need men in this country to stand up and walk with you. And Lord, America needs some godly men. I pray, Father, that we can make a difference today to encourage them. Bless them with those tapes of the preaching that we gave them also. And Lord, would you be with Brother Rod, Miss Debbie, Lord, to be ministering today down in Alabama and all during the week. Lord, please be with them and use them, we pray. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Notice verse 8. And the Lord God planted the garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Put Adam in that garden. In other words, Brother Mike, the Garden of Eden was Adam's home. Are you with me? Look over there in verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress and to keep it. He said, this home I'm giving you, I want you to take good care of it. Look up here, fellas. We're to take good care of things that God gives us. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in that day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord said in verse 18, it's not good that man should be alone. I will look and make him a helpmeet for him. I will make him a helpmeet. God looked down and said, well, Eddie White would be a basket case without Lizzie. He looked down, saw Mike. He said, boy, he really needs Darlene. He looked down, he said, boy, I can see Rich Skyver's going to need a wife named Rosie. Are you with me? He said, and the Lord God is not good. The Lord said, look at verse 18. The Lord said, not me. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. Jimmy Furness is going to need Judy. You know, but Marty Dragage just went to be with the Lord a few weeks back. God bless his widow, Betty Dragage. Marty was rough around the edges. And Betty helped smooth him out a little bit. Amen? And then look at verse 19. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. That's how animals got their names. Adam gave them the names. You're a cow. You're a giraffe. You're a champion. You're a giraffe. You're a hippopotamus. You're a chimpanzee. Amen? We didn't come from monkeys. We named the monkeys. Verse 20. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, verse 20, and to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. He named that dove. But for Adam there was not found a helpmate for him. God looked down and everybody had a mate, but for Adam there was none. God said, you know what? Man needs a mate. Man needs a helpmate. Ladies, I hope you get this. You're there for a purpose for your husband. You're the helpmate. You're to help your husband. You're to help him. Not push him down, but to raise him up. Many great men are great because they have great women behind them. Amen. Hard to find a great man without a great wife. Amen. Usually, good men make it because they have great wives. Thank God for those precious ladies. Amen? Amen. And verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. You know, kind of like he was probably watching the Cleveland Browns and fell asleep. Or, you know, one of those kind of fellows where you get in that lazy boy chair and, you know, Jack says, Judy, I'm going to watch this show. I'm going to watch the Indies. The next thing he... And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took him, by the way, the first anesthetist, you know, God put him to sleep. When you have surgery, they put you to sleep. It's right there in the Bible. Amen. Boy, I wish the world would catch up with the Bible.
Amen.
And he fell in a deep sleep, and he slept and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. They've been paying the sight ever since. No, I'm just kidding. Kidding. It was a joke. It was a joke. It really was. You always gotta have a little laughter to get people to listen to you. I just turned off every woman though, but the men are listening real good. And he brought her unto the man. Aren't you glad it was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve?
Amen.
Now God believes in man and woman. God doesn't mean for men to be with men and women to be with women. God meant for in the marriage in the home for a man to be with a wife. Amen. And I know there's a real sweeping thing today with the queers wanting to have gay rights and gay marriages and everything else, whatever you want. But that's not God's. And by the way, it's not gay either. When I was a kid, gay meant you were happy or jubilant. And you don't see many happy people like them. When you're dying of AIDS, it's tough to be happy. Amen? I better get preaching here, Mark. Amen. Today I want to share with you, with the men, to try to give you some truth about, fellas, God's got a relationship for you and I with him, and God's got a relationship for you and I with our wives and with our family. I want to take just a few minutes today and share with you to try to help you in your relationship with God and with your families. Because I think as the family goes, that's how the country goes. And by the way, as the families go, that's how the church goes too. I've only got 3 points. No poem either. So, number one, man was to take care of his home. Man was to take care. Fellas, God charges you and I, we're the head of the house. We're to be the leaders of our home. God says, I've given you the responsibility. I've given you the authority to lead your family, to watch over your home, to guide your home. And when you see verse 8 and verse 15, God told Adam that he was to take care of the Garden of Eden. That's where he lived. That was his home. The Garden of Eden, and spiritually, in a sense, Brother Mike, the Garden Eden was his home. Amen?
Amen.
Men, your home is your garden. Because I'm going to kind of use the illustration with the garden to try to work with us, with our relationship with God. Fellas, I said, your home is your garden. Say that with me. Your home is your garden. Okay. And so number one, your home is your garden. God says we're to take care of our home. You are to watch over your home. You are to take care of your home. You are to protect your home. By the way, not only physically, but spiritually. If Adam let his guard down. When you read Genesis 3, we don't have time, 1 through 5, Satan got in and deceived Eve. Where was Adam? Look up here, fellas. We need to protect our wife and our children from things that would get in our home that would take them away from God. That means some of that TV programming you let going in there. Some of that wild music you let go in there. Some of that publications of magazines and stuff and the computer. You better protect your family.
Amen.
Don't let Satan get in your family.
Amen.
He'll destroy it if he can. Boy, I can't preach enough to you about the protecting of your home. against pornography. Boy, that pornography will destroy your home right now.
Yes.
Fellas, flee from that pornography. It's evil.
Yes.
It's a destroyer. You check the statistics. Most men that are in prison for murder started with pornography. They're connected because all Satan led. Hello? Alcohol, a destroyer. Drugs, a destroyer. Well, I just take a little. A little's too much. You teenagers, you listen to me. When I was a young kid, around 14, I had my first bottle of beer. By the time I was 18, I probably was what we classify an alcoholic. It started with one bottle of beer, and I was just trying to act smart and big in front of all the people. And I thought the girls would thought I was cool because I had a Labatt or a Buckeye. They used to have called Buckeye beer in Toledo. They had a Buckeye brewery there. Or a Pabst Blue Ribbon. Yeah, but they don't show you the people after they're in the hospital and their liver. See, I've been pastoring for almost 30 years. I go to hospitals almost every week of my life. I've been in the hospitals. Can you imagine? I've only been a patient once. One time for 2 days. And I was 60 years old when they got me. The one nurse saw me the other day when she said, "Preacher, are you all right?" I said, "Man, I'm doing great." She said, "When you left, without the doctor's permission or everything, they said you couldn't leave. You left in 2 days." I said, "Look, I'm doing great." She said, "We were so worried about you." I said, "Man, don't worry about me. I'm doing great. It was a wake-up call from God, and I'm eating and doing. I'm looking." She said, "Man, you've lost weight." I said, "Hey, I'm gonna lose a lot more too."
Amen.
But you don't see the alcoholics that I see.
That's right.
You don't preach the funerals that I do.
Yep.
Of people with their livers blown out,
yep,
and their kidneys shot, and their brains. You don't visit them in the hospital. You don't visit them in the prisons. You don't visit them in the psych wards that I do, because their brains are all shot because they took the dope and stuff. That's why they call it dope, because it blows them out. I know. I've got 30 years of seeing it. You can laugh at me if you want, but I'm telling you the truth. It's a destroyer, and you men should not let that in your home, and you ought to protect your children and protect your wife and say, "No, I'm not letting Satan in this house."
Amen.
Kick it out of your house. Kick it out of your house.
Amen.
I told you years ago, there was a guy who used to live across the street from me. It was a former member. He's gone. He's passed away now. He had all kinds of whiskey. He had me come over, and he was going through a hard time. I seen all that whiskey. I said, "Well, the first thing we're going to do, we're going to kick the devil out of your house." He said, "Amen." I walked over to the sink. I started pouring it down.
Amen.
That stuff costs a lot of money, I guess. It's been so long since I bought it, Bobby. He went, "Hey!" He let me do the first bottle, but I just kept going to it.
Amen.
He said, "Hey, do you know how much that cost me?" I said, "Yeah, look at your home, look at your children, look at your life." He began to weep. He said, "Keep pouring it, preacher."
Amen.
We need some men today that'll get some conviction and say, "I'm kicking the devil out of my house."
Amen.
And that alcohol don't have no room in your house. The drugs ain't got no pornography. And that HBO TV, that's all the wickedness. You need to get rid of that. Not against what you want to watch TV, but you got to watch something. If there is something on there, you got to watch something that's good.
Yeah.
You know, I'm almost ready to give up on sports because
yeah.
Cleveland's not going to win. So, that's about Jack. 99% of the stuff I watch on TV is either hunting, fishing, sports, boxing. You know, I don't bowl. I don't watch that. Look up here. We need to protect our home. Adam dropped the ball, Bobby. You preachers, you better protect your home. Satan is out to get your home. He's out to get your kids. Can I get real stirred up right now? Because I know this is a real fad with the kids. I'm going to get you mad at me right now. Did you know God says, boy, people are putting tattoos. I seen a girl on TV, she put a whole constellation of stars on her face. I said, what an idiot. She don't have to go out at nighttime, she just go look in the mirror. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder where. They must have been playing that when they did that with her. You know, God talks about in the Old Testament not putting stuff on, no tattoos on you. Did you know putting tattoos are not of God? You know, putting these little rings up in your nose and your lips and your tongue and your ear, that's not of God. How many like Father's Day so far? We need some fathers. Amen. We need some fathers. Like, I'm not against ladies wearing earrings. But it don't look fun. It looks kind of funny on men. And sometimes when if you wear them, I'm not saying you are, but oh, I wonder if you are say, fellas. we got some special laughers in this church, don't we? We need to protect us, and we need to provide for our families. We know. Listen. You're the leader of your home. God wants, and look up here. What you, how you lead determines how your home's going to be. Amen. The reason we don't have good homes is because, fellas, we don't invest time and interest in the things of God in our homes. Amen. Fellas, we need to spend more time with our homes. Yes. Less time with running with our buddies. Well, I'm going to run out with my buddy. No, you stay home and stay home with your child. Amen. You stay home with your wife. Yep. You had your buddy time when you were single. Right. It's a wonder we have over 50% divorce rates. Yeah. Yeah. It bothers me when a guy wants to be with another guy more than he wants to be with his wife. Amen. Hello? Amen. Remember what God told Adam? I want you to till the ground. I want you to keep the ground for me. Keep it and dress it. We are to cultivate the ground of our homes. We are to build a foundation. Before you have to build a foundation. It takes some digging up. Hello? We need to cultivate. And we need to, and when you want to build a crop, Annie, you got to plant seed and you got to water. We need to put some seed and water it in our kids' hearts. And our wives' hearts and our families, so they're grounded and seated in the Word of God. The reason we don't have a bumper crop in our home and we have a famine is because we've not spent no time taking care of what God gave us. Usually men they start worrying about their home when it's already destroyed. Years ago, they said an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. Why don't you start working on prevention instead of having to cure a problem? Many homes today are places of stony ground. They really are. Matter of fact, even the Christians, most homes are stony ground, not good ground. Places where it's not good to live. Instead of happy, vibrant homes, we have homes that are troubled and torn. And stress, and broken, and that's the commonplace of even Christian homes today. It's quiet because I'm telling you the truth. Instead of fruitful homes, we have unfruitful homes. Instead of holy homes, we have unholy homes. Instead of a place where you can't wait to get back to, you don't want to go back. Guys will work overtime, or they'll make excuses not to go home because they don't want to go home because their home is such a chaos. Well, fellas, the reason it's in chaos because you haven't put it together first. Amen. Our homes are what we make them. Our marriages are what we make them. Our lives are what we make out of them. We try to blame God for everything. It's our fault. Why don't we be men and say, man, it's not God, it's me. Some of you guys, also, you've been blaming God. Why don't you be a man today and say, man, it's not my wife. It's not my kid. It's not God. It's me. It's me. It's me. I need an overhaul. Amen. We have a lot of weeds and wild growth in our homes that needs to be torn out and rooted out. Amen?
Amen.
We have a lot of brokenness and bitterness in our homes instead of gladness and happy. The home ought to be a place of joy and gladness. Amen? God told Adam to dress and keep it. I'm telling you men to go home and go back to your homes and start dressing and keep your homes. Take care of where you're living. Take care of your family. What is needed in our homes today is needs to be cultivated and seeded and watered with the precious word of God. How do we do that, preacher? How do we do that? We need to demonstrate daily. We need to have a daily demonstration of the fruit of the Spirit. From us rough, tough guys. Galatians 5:22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
Amen.
See, all our wife does and all our kids know is that we can scream and yell and bicker and complain. All they know is that we can lose our temper. All they know is that we don't have time for them. Hello? Get away from me. I'm too busy. You are too busy when you're too busy for your wife. You are too busy when you're too busy for your children. Take some time. Walk away from the stupid TV. Walk away from some stuff and take time to be with your family. It's what God gave you. Listen, we need a living, teaching, practicing man of God. I'm not talking about a preacher. I'm talking about a man that walks with God. We need people that live daily and practice Christianity all the time, that your wife and your children see it.
Amen.
Every day in their family, not just on Sunday.
Amen.
Put on a. No wonder our kids are always wash out. They don't see it during the week.
Right.
Our kids know what we are. God's holy word is a good seed. And your family needs a good seed. When's the last time you sat down and prayed with your family? When's the last time you and your wife just sat down and read the Bible? When's the last time you sat down and read the Bible with your children? When's the last time you prayed? See, and you wonder what the problem is. I'm going to tell you what the problem is. We don't have no good seed in our homes. See, you've got why, I don't care if you've got kids or no kids. I don't care if your kids are grown up. You need to sit down. You and your wife need to read the Bible together. You need to pray together. And if you've got kids, you need to read the Bible and pray with your kids. See, come on, kids. You don't have to make them read five chapters a day. Take one chapter, take some verses and say, come on, kids, we're just going to read a chapter of the Bible today. And sit down and read with them. Turn the radio off. Take the phone off the hook. Turn the TV off and say, come on, we're gonna have a time during the day that we're gonna have time that we're all gonna get around the Word of God and pray and talk to God. That's what we need in our homes today. Our homes are destroyed because they got weeds in them. See, God's word will take the weeds out. Hello? We need the Word of God to cleanse us. Ephesians 5:25 says we're sanctified by the washing and the water of the word. God's word cleanses our heart. Psalms 119, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto to the word. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Thy not sin against thee. We don't have no word. No wonder we've got unruliness. We have no word. Jesus in John 4:14, Jesus is the living water that springs up into everlasting life. You know, men, keep your hands on the Word of God. Keep your hands on it. I was talking to a guy yesterday, and I said, the problem with most people, they never get in the Bible or nothing. When we need God the most, we walk away from Him. Why is it when we're in the lowest time, we're the farthest from God? I said, we can praise God when we're on the mountaintop, but what when we're in the valley? You know, Psalm 16:11 says this, thou wilt show me the path of life. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. If you had God's presence in your home, you would have joy. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. The reason we don't have the fullness of joy in our homes, we don't have the presence of God in our homes. And thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. If you want pleasures and being blessed forever, then get with the Lord. Nehemiah said this in Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. How big is your strength today? How much of the joy do you have in your house? See, if you want joy in your home, you're going to have the joy of the Lord. You're going to have the strength of the Lord. And if you have the strength of the Lord, you're going to have His presence. And by the way, you fellas, you're responsible for bringing that presence in. Mark's the leader. He's going to say, sit down, kids. We're going to sit down and pray now. Sit down, Betty. We're going to read the Word of God together. Hello. Mark, you're the leader of your home. You need to sit down with your family and say, come on, we're going to read the Bible. I'm not saying you got to take an hour, but I'm saying every day you have a time where you allow that you say, God, we're coming to you. Please come in. I want to make an impression on my wife and my children for you. I want you to be part of our life. See, the problem is God's not part of our life. He's not part of our families, and that's why our families are so broken. Hello. Men, number two. By the way, God's word is a good seed. Your family needs that good seed to bear good fruit. Don't let the devil get a foothold in your home. Because what he's done, he's wrecking a lot of homes today because you've let him in there. Slam the door on his foot. Get him out. Adam wished he would have. Adam let down his guard, and the devil spoke to his wife and ruined their whole life together. Number two, acknowledge to God your wife and your children as a blessing, not a cursing. You know, it just, Bobby, it irritates me to the quick. When I hear I'll be out somewhere and some guy will say, he'll say a derogatory thing about his wife, or he'll think a derogatory thing about his children. And boy, that bothers me. Look up here, fellas. Your wife and your children are not a curse. They're a blessing. And I put this down. Acknowledge to God that your wife and children are a blessing, not a burden. Our families are a blessing from the Lord. Genesis 2:18. It's not good that man should be alone. God looked down and said, hey, fella, you're a goober. You're a basket case. God looked down and said, Sean, you're not complete. He said, I'm going to give you a wife and make you complete. Woman, you're the completer for man. God looked down and said, that guy needs help. My brother Bill can roll him off, but he needed Sandy. She's the glue that keeps everything together. Hello. Stay with me. Fellas, praise God every day for your wife. Thank God for your wife. Psalms 128. Verse 3, thy wife shall be a fruitful vine by thy sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants around about thy table. Psalms 127, verse 3, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of thy womb is his reward. Man, I'm going to tell you, our wives are a blessing. Can anyone say amen? Proverbs 18:22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. Well, preacher, she's not what she used to be. Have you looked in the mirror? You aren't either, Buckle. She's got the worst thing of it. I mean, we get bald and old and fat and grumpy. Hello? Our wives, they still stay pretty and cute and they go on. And she's not what you... Are you nuts? I ought to trade her in for two 20s. No, she ought to trade you in for nothing. You're an idiot. God help us, fellas. We ought to be thanking God for our wives. They put up with us. They wash our rotten socks. They make our food. They do your stinking rotten underwear. Put up with us. They're snoring. Our grubby beards. Hello. Our chicken breath in the morning. Hi, honey. And we're complaining about them? We ought to be on our knees thanking God every day for them.
Amen.
I noted this. First Peter says this. 1 Peter 3:7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. That's your wife, them. Fellas, acknowledge your wife. Give honor. It says giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together. You're heirs together of the grace of life. Amen. He said, Mark, Betty, she's heir with you with the grace of life. That partner that God gave you, she's a wildcat, I know, Bobby, but she, you're heirs together. Jack, same bloodline. You and Bobby have a lot in common. You know what I'm talking about. But you're heirs together. Do you realize what God's saying there?
Amen.
Carl and Mary been married, I think, over 60 years.
Amen.
You're heirs together in this life and the next life.
Amen.
Are you with? Do you think that means she should have a special place in your life?
Yes.
A special honor? A special treating? A special love? A special appreciation? Hello? Isn't this good preaching?
Amen.
You said, boy, preacher, when you said, you on Mother's Day, you said you were going to get the guys, and I mean, you were going to get the girls too, but you haven't got too many yet. I'll get them. That goes both ways, ladies. You're heirs together. You ought to have a special love and appreciation for that husband too. That, and it goes on in that verse, Mark, that your prayers be not hindered.
Yeah.
Look up here. John, if you and I aren't right with Betty and Rosie, we might as well not even pray. Raji, if you aren't right with Linda, you might not even pray. Linda, you girls have got us. You've got us. The Bible says, if we don't treat our wives right, Brother Mike, it says, you better honor them, better love them, better do good, because your prayers will be hindered.
Yes.
If you and Betty get in a spat, Roger, if you and your wife get in a spat, there ain't no sense of going out and telling God, hey, Lord, I need this today. He's going to say, zonk. Next thing we got to pray is, dear God, I just messed up. I'm going to go back and tell my wife I'm sorry and I love her. And maybe get some flowers. Because they really do like flowers. Candy's all right, but flowers, I'm telling you, flowers do a lot for you. Candy, you'll just end up eating it anyways. They don't get a piece out of it. Give them flowers. Here's what I wrote. It's already, I've got a... Let God know, fellas, let God know that you love and appreciate your family. Thank God every day for your wife and your family. Thank God every day for your wife and your family. And then I said, let your family know you love them every day. Tell them every day, I love you. I tell my grandkids, Grandpa loves you. I tell my wife, I love you. I leave a note. I'm going downtown, or I'm going to love Rich. Dr. Richard E. Skyver. I let my kids know them. Like last night, Luke, we watched Lukey while Dave and Tammy were out of town. They went to Toledo. One of his best friends got married. They went to Toledo. And the last thing I said to Lukey around 8:30 somewhere, because they were going back, Rosie was taking it, I said, "I love you, Mr. Man." And I hugged my kids. You can ask Nat Nat and Tippy Brook and all the rest of them, Rady Ray and Austin McGost. I got a song for every one of my kids. I have a song for, I won't do it, Nat. I won't embarrass you. Nat's, I got Natty's vibrate. She said, "Don't you do it, Grandpa." I won't, because I love you, Nat. But I'll do Tiffany's. Tiffany Brook. She's Papa's little snooker, 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 snooker. Oh, Tiffany Brook. She's her Papa's little snooky, snooky, snook. But I've got one for every one of my kids. Natalie Rose. I'm on the... She's my little... Okay, she is so pretty. Anyways, I love my kids. And I let my kids know, and by the way, number one, you need to take care of your home. I'm saying another thing, you need to let God know you're thankful for your wife and your children. Number two, you need to let your family know you love them. Number three, you need to let your friends and other people around you know that you love them. I don't make no bones. I tell you, you go up to anybody in this church, they'll say, "That preacher loves his family." I want you to know, I love my family. You know why? Because that means you ain't going to say to them, "Don't come to me about my family," because I'm going to tell you right now, I love my family! Amen. Hello? Amen. By the way, God wants you to love your family. You ought to, after 12. If your family don't know you love them, if they don't know you love them, you're failing. Well, it's not in me to do that. Make it in you. Jesus was a man of man's, and he still let us know he loved us. Amen? Amen. And lastly, God used Adam as a type and figure of the home and a type of figure of Jesus to come. Let me quote you this scripture. The Bible says in Romans 5:14 that Adam was a figure of Jesus to come. Now, those who took my Romans class, they know I'm going to teach them right now. It says that Adam, Romans 5:14, was a figure of him to come. When you look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, that's when Eve took of that forbidden fruit. And then it goes on. Look at Genesis 3:6, and I'm closing. "And the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, the tree to be desired to make one wise. Why, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Now look up here. You studied Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:14. It says Adam was not deceived. Eve was tricked. She was beguiled. She was tricked by old Slewfoot. But Adam knew. Adam knew. The moment he took of that forbidden fruit, because he knew Genesis 2:17 when God said, "If you take it, you're going to die. Don't take it lest you die." Now, he didn't die right then, but he didn't die physically, but he eventually died, but he died spiritually. Had to be restored back to God. Are you with me? Adam knew that when he took of that fruit, he was going to die. Now think about Adam. He knew God's commandments. He knew God's promises. He saw Eve. And by the way, I believe her complexion changed after she ate that. I can't prove it, but there's a possibility that maybe even that after she did that, sin entered in. Are you with me? How many are still with me?
Amen.
He knew right then she was going to die. Think about Adam. Think about Adam. Bob, he might have looked out and saw all the animals. He might have thought about and saw them all with their mates. And they thought, my wife, my bride's going to die. I'm not going to have her no more. I don't want to be separate. He thought about, no doubt about what God said in Genesis 2:18. And it's not good that man be alone. It says that Adam was a figure, Kenny, of him to come. Adam was a figure of Jesus, who in the Bible calls Jesus the last Adam. So the first Adam is the guy in the Garden of Eden with Eve. The last Adam is Jesus. It said this first Adam, Brother Billy, was a figure, a type, of the last Adam to come. Now how was he a figure of the last Adam, Jesus, to come? Why did Adam, when he knew for sure he was going to die, why did he take of that sin? Adam loved his bride so much. Mike, he loved his bride, Eve, so much that he openly partook of her sin because he loved her. And 4,000 years later, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, went to Calvary's cross. And there he hung between heaven and earth, dying for my sins and for your sins. You know why? Because he loved his bride. And Jesus openly partook of all his bride's sin. See, we that trust him, we're the bride. How many are with me? Jesus, 4,000 years later, the last Adam, loved his bride so much, he openly partook of our sin. Even though he knew it would cost him his life. See, it was love. And even today, you can hear the echoes of the cross of Calvary. You can hear Jesus say, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. You see, love covers a multitude of sin. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the kind of love we need in our homes today. We need that kind of love. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that we would look at Adam. Know it's important that we take care of our homes. Father, please work in every man's heart today. Holy Spirit of God, Holy Ghost, go up and down these aisles. Challenge these men. Stir their hearts to want to be men. Men that walk with God. Men that know God. Men that share Christ and make sure Christ is present in their homes and in their lives, in their wife, in their children's lives. And I pray if there's any here today that doesn't know you as Savior, men or women, I pray, dear God, with all my heart, may they know that there's a Savior that loves them, that died for them, that arose that third day and is in heaven, and they can have eternal life by putting their faith in him. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and by the way, can I say this while we're praying? Every man and every boy, every girl here today, if you still have a father, you need to let your father know you love him. On this Father's Day, whether you have a gift or not, the greatest gift you can give your father, your grandpa, is to come and hug them and say, I love you. There's no greater gift than love. You ought to make sure, you grown-ups, if you still got a, I wish I had a father. My father's gone. My mother's gone. I wish I had a mother to go to on Mother's Day. I wish I had a father I could call up and hug on Father's Day. You still got a father. You go to your father today and you tell him you love him. And you mean it from the depths of your heart. Their heads bowed and their eyes closed. How many men would say, preacher, God spoke to my heart while you preached. I need to be a better man at home. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes, 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 yes. All over the building. Yes, God bless you. Yes, sir, God bless you. How many wives would say, "Preacher, I need to be a better wife. And while you preached to my husband, God spoke to me, showed me some things I need. Pray for me." Who'd say that? Yes, yes. God bless you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Lastly, how many children would say, "Man, I need to be a better kid to my dad. I've not been respecting my mom and dad like I should. Pray for me, preacher." God bless you. Yes, yes. Yes, sir. Let your mom and dad know you appreciate them. One way you can show them by being a good kid, by obeying, doing what they tell you to do. One last thing, and I'm all done. You're here today, and you don't know if you'd go to heaven, and you don't want to die and go to hell. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you take one breath, from here, you're going to hell. Once you die, that next breath you take is going to be an eternity. It's either going to be heaven or it's going to be hell. You say, "Preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me." Just raise a hand. Let me see it. Pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Anyone in the building, pray for me. I'm not sure. Maybe you want to join the church. You say, "Preacher, we want to join the church. I'm saved. We know God wants us to be here." Who'd say, "Pray for me"? God bless you. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that men and women would come to the altar today, speak to you. Start getting those roots out of that. They got some weeds in their home. Someone got some weeds in their home, and they need to start taking the weeds out right at the altar today. They need to go home determined that some of those things that are in their home they're going to take out. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. Some of you need to come and pray and say, "God, help me in my home." Many of you raised your hand. Just come right now. That's right. Just come. Just come. God, help me in my home. God, help me in my home. Help me to be the leader. Join the church.